Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm John Copeland. I'm so delighted you joined us today. This week has just flown by with Rick Renner being here and just the topic. It's like it's so interesting, but so vitally important to hear it and to understand how all of this from the Bible is tying into today and that we're literally living in biblical times.
We are.
We get to be here for that.
We do.
I mean, does that ever like hit you where it's like God chose me of all the times I could be here to be in this time where it is such a pivotal biblical happening right now. Like we're literally living in a time where the Bible is coming to life for us, and it's always life, but it's like where we're at and where we're going and like the discovery of the ark and that proving out. And I know God's going to show and prove out other things like he has been doing. It's just kind of like, man, that's like so awesome that we're chosen.
We're privileged.
We are privileged. You know, we are living in a privileged time. I always kind of, I find it, it's almost hard to believe that Jesus may come back in my lifetime because we've been waiting for 2,000 years. And it's like, would I be so fortunate is I'm actually going to live long enough to be here for the resurrection? And I'm thinking, there's a really good shot that I am.
When you were growing up, did you ever play tag?
Yes.
Well, you know, eventually somebody's got to be tagged.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, tag, you're it. Chose us to live in the end of the age. I mean, somebody's got to live in this age.
What an honor, though.
And it's us.
Yeah.
Prophets prophesied about this.
Yes.
And we are walking it out. I think it's awesome.
I think it's awesome, too. And I think, you know, we've got this day to cover some more stuff. If you haven't seen the other broadcasts, you can go to our website or to our app or wherever and watch them. I'd highly recommend you going back. And you can also go to kcm.org/notes and download for free the study notes from this. Hopefully we can put some pictures and some videos, which this book is full of pictures.
It is.
Which I love, pictures in a book. Okay. That's like one whole page. I don't have to read. I can just look. But it's like, it's full of pictures, illustrations. It's a deep dive into this subject.
And it's not hard to read.
It's not hard
to read. It's not a scary book.
Mm-hmm.
But John, before we get into this today, I want to say thank you to you. Thank you to your dad, to your mom, to the whole ministry for what you do to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I want to tell you, friend, that Denise and I have worked very, very closely with KCM for more than 3 decades. I mean, we've got a lot of history. And I can tell you the truth. They are good with the money that you give to this ministry. They're careful. They hover over it because they understand you could have spent it somewhere else, but you chose to give it. And they take it very serious as a stewardship to make sure they get the biggest bang out of every buck to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I have watched what they have done. And over the years, I've been amazed. For example, just at the number of books you printed in Russian and gave away, you guys gave away more than 15 million books. That's the printing of the books, the storage of the books, the postage to mail the books. I mean, we're talking about an astronomical sum of money that you spent to bless people who couldn't pay. And if you're a partner, I'm going to tell you, this is a great place for you to sow your seed. And I can personally vouch the KCM, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, is the real deal. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. It has been an honor to work with you and Denise. She's off camera over here.
She's here.
His beautiful wife, Denise. Such good people. And like I said earlier in another broadcast, you know, never any sign or hint of any kind of wrongdoing or any scandals or any. It's like we obviously all face challenges because, I mean, if you're doing something good, you're going to have haters.
That's right.
I mean, look at Jesus. All he did was good, and they killed him for it. And so it's like you're always going to have haters. You're always going to have this talk. But if they could really see behind the veil and see behind the scenes what goes on here, I mean, it is all about you. It is about meeting your needs, bringing you from religion to reality, teaching you how to live victorious through Jesus. That's our whole goal. That's what we've existed for almost 60 years now. So this year is 59 years in ministry.
Wow.
And next year is the big 6-0. It's easy for me to remember because
that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, we went into ministry. Dad went into ministry when I was 1. And so, you know, I've been here most of my life, you know, and it's really good to be a part of something that of integrity, of truth, of doing it the right way. I had so blessed to have such good teachers as mom and dad that I can now teach my kids and have, you know, they're all grown now, but it's like they walk in integrity. They walk in truth. They tell the truth. They're very respectful. It's like we pass that down from generation to generation. You passing that down. That's why things like Super Kids, you know, our Super Kids programs for teaching children and things like that. That's why it's so important. You got to start teaching them so you're passing that down so the time they move out, they're ready. Mm. I know I've seen you. It's with your kids as well.
That's right.
They're involved.
And our grandkids.
They're involved in your ministry and they're right there with you. What a good feeling that is, huh?
It is. It's the greatest honor.
All my kids work here now at the ministry.
That's awesome.
And I get to see them on a regular basis. And I can't tell you as a parent just how wonderful that is and an honor. It's an honor that they want to be with you, you know? So kudos to you and Denise for doing such a great job.
Thank you, John.
All right. So we don't have a lot of time today, so we're going to have to dive into this.
All right.
This part is going to be really interesting.
Well, you know, sometimes people say, are we really living in the end of the age? Well, I want to read you what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 37. And this kind of has been the foundational verse for this week. It says, for as the days of Noah were, and the Greek says exactly as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And so this really is Jesus' forecast that whatever was happening in the world before the flood is exactly going to be replicated at the end of the age. But then in verse 38, Jesus said, for as in the days of Noah that were before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now here's something amazing. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That is a perplexing verse to me because it says they knew not. But the truth is they did know. He was preaching. The whole ark was a sermon that they lived with for 100 years. And if they didn't know, it's because they chose not to listen. They just chose not to listen. Well, when you come to 2 Peter chapter 3, we find that at the end of the age, it's going to be very similar to the days before the flood. Just like people weren't listening then and people weren't taking Noah's warning seriously. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. He says, knowing this first. The word knowing is a participle. It means you would translate it, know this, know this, know this, really know this. Get it down deep. Never misunderstand or forget this first. That there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own flesh. What does the word last days mean? It's the Greek word eschatos. And the Greek word eschatos was a navigational term which described the very last port for a ship. If you came to that very last port, it was called last. The Greek word eschatos, there's not another port after that. So now you carry that into this verse. And Peter says, know this, that when time has sailed to the very last port, and there's nearly no time left for the rest of the journey, there shall come scoffers walking after their own lusts. And John, in Greek, the word scoffers appears twice. It says scoffing scoffers. It's really people just given to scoffing, given to mocking. And in the next verse, it tells us what these scoffing scoffers are going to say and say. And the word saying in Greek means alleging, alleging and alleging. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation of the world. Or at the very end of the age, there are going to be people who try to debunk the rapture, debunk the coming of Jesus, and they're going to say, come on, give me a break. People have been talking about this for 2,000 years. It's exactly what they were saying in the days of Noah. Oh, that old preacher, he's been talking about a flood for 100 years. There they were living in the shadow of the ark. It was right in front of them. If they didn't know, it's because they chose not to listen or they chose to disbelieve. And here we are again, living at the end of the age. And ministries like ours and yours, we're warning people, we're telling people that we're coming to the very end. Not much more time is left. And people are saying, right, we've only heard this for 100 years. We've only heard this for 2,000 years. And they just dismiss it when the truth is they're living in the shadow of this very near event. Now, sometimes people say, well, now, hold on, hold on. Why hasn't Jesus come yet? If Jesus is going to come, then why hasn't he come yet? I think that's a very good question. Why hasn't he come? And the answer is also in 2 Peter chapter 3. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, Peter says, Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I mean, we're just talking about the very fast passing of time for the Lord. But then in verse 9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The word slack means to be delayed or to be tardy. The Lord is not 1 minute late concerning his promise. In context, it's the promise of the Lord coming at the end of the age. He is not late. He is not delayed. He is right on time. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And here we find, what is the holdout? What is the holdout? Some people say, well, are we waiting for prophetic events to line up? Well, that's part of it. But Peter says very clearly, God is waiting for the last person to repent who's going to repent. And when the last person who's going to repent repents, the age is going to close. It is going to be finished. And God is so gracious that just as he waited in the days of Noah and waited and waited and waited, giving people an opportunity to change, and when they didn't change, then that age closed. It was finished. Now God is not tardy. He's not late. He's just holding out. He's long-suffering. And aren't you glad that he's long-suffering?
Yes, I am.
And he's waiting for that last person to believe that's going to believe. And when that moment happens, bam, this age is going to be closed. And it's going to give birth to the next age, which is called the Great Tribulation. That is right in front of us. It's just beyond the veil. And it could happen at any moment. John, it could happen right now when somebody prays to receive Christ. They could be the last person. Or even think about this. You might be the person.
I was just saying that.
To bring somebody to Christ that is the last person that ends the age.
Yeah.
That's how close we are.
You don't want to be the last person. Well, I guess the last person who gets saved, they win. But don't be that person. Don't wait. You know, if you haven't accepted Jesus, do it today, because you might be the one that teaches the person that receives it.
That's right.
You know, that's wild to think about that. So this is a big question I hear a lot of people, post-trib, pre-trib. You know, I guess some people feel like Christians, we're going to stay and go through the tribulation. Is that right?
And some people believe that.
And some people believe that we're going to go out before the tribulation. So you're of the belief that Jesus is coming back for us and then the tribulation happens. You said earlier, yesterday that the Antichrist will not show himself or will not be known.
He cannot.
Until the resurrection.
Until the resurrection, the rapture's taken place. So I'm a believer in a pre-trib rapture. Mm-hmm. But John, people get all bent out of shape. Okay, are you pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? What are you? We're talking about a difference of 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
If it's pre-trib or post-trib, it's a 7-year difference.
Well, I'm voting for pre-trib.
Well, I believe it's
pre-trib. Because I don't want to go to those 7 years here.
You know what? Some people say, well, Christians have always lived through hard times. There's a difference between hard times and wrath. They're not the same thing. You know, Denise and I live in the former Soviet Union, where we know a lot of believers that went through very, very hard times for their faith, but they never went through wrath.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about a whole different level when you talk about what's going to happen during the Great Tribulation. And we all call it the Great Tribulation. You know what the word tribulation means?
What?
The squeeze. something that is crushing. It's going to be a time period that's going to squeeze the human race. It's going to be crushing to the human race. It's, in fact, Jesus said there will have never been a time like it before and never will be after that. It's going to be a time like no one has ever experienced. But the Bible says very clearly in the book of Thessalonians that God has delivered us from the wrath to come. There's going to be a divine rescue operation. And Jesus is going to descend into the lower atmosphere with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and bam, those that are dead in Christ, you're calling it the resurrection, they're going to go first. And then which we are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says we should comfort one another with these words. And so many people get scared when they hear about the resurrection or the rapture of the church. But John, it's the greatest news. Mm-hmm. And other people say, oh, you're just an escapist. You can be absolutely sure I'm an escapist. Yes, I am. I'm not escaping my responsibility. I just said to you, God is not willing that any should perish. And this is our season. This is our season to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. But God loves his people so much that he has created the great escape, which is going to occur before wrath is poured out upon the earth.
And everybody's going to have a chance and a choice.
That's right, John.
You choose good or you choose evil.
And thank God for your ministry, because you're offering that choice to people all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We are too. That's what we're called to do.
Yeah. And I can, you know, we talked about it the other day, but it's when the rapture happens and all of the spiritually godly people are gone, that would be wrath just of in itself.
Oh, the darkness is just going to flood in.
The people that have no God, no morals, no boundaries of good and evil, because they're devoid of that. And for all of the godly people to be gone, and what you have left is just hate and violence and people who...
Animalistic behavior. You know, this verse says that when time has sailed to the last port and not much more time remains for the rest of the journey, there will come scoffing scoffers laughing at us who believe that this thing is about to be wrapped up. John, sometimes when I have availability to YouTube, I just get on YouTube just to see what people are saying. And you know, there are a lot of voices right now that mock us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're laughing at us. Even people that are trying to theologically debunk us, that the rapture is not true, that all of this is man-made. And I am amazed that pastors don't even preach about this. They don't even touch it. And if we love people, we need to tell people where we are, what is about to happen. That's what Noah did for 100 years. He preached and preached and preached and preached. And the Bible says the people didn't know. If they didn't know, it wasn't because Noah didn't try to tell them. Noah told them. They just chose not to listen or to disbelieve.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not change our responsibility to tell. We have got to tell people if we love people. And if you have friends and neighbors and family that don't know the Lord, this is not a time for you to zip your lips. You need to love them enough to tell them what is coming. This is our season to rescue the perishing and to care for those that are spiritually dying.
It really is. I think for so long, Christians have just kind of sat on the sidelines. The preacher does the preaching. I come to church on Sunday, hear the word, and I go back about my life for the rest of the week. But we can't be in that place anymore.
You know, there's a lot of textbook athletes. They can tell you how you should play, but they've never played the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it, John. People have been studying the word of faith, how to walk in faith, how to walk in authority. And now it's time for them to get on the field and play. And there's a lot of Christians that say, oh me, oh my, can't we do this? Can we really handle this? Well, you've only been training for decades.
Mm-hmm.
You've been training for decades. And now you have the opportunity to get out of the bleachers. And it's your time to get on the playing field. This is the greatest hour of the church.
You know what most people don't? Fear keeps them from it. What if I get rejected? What if I tell somebody about Jesus and they reject me? Or they scoff or mock me, just like in the days of Noah, right? What if that happens? Therefore, I don't do it. That's one of the biggest fears in people in general, is just fear of rejection, you know? And it's kind of like, what we always got to remember is, it's not your words mm-hmm. that matter. It's God's words that matter. I've had people tell me years ago, remember when you said this to me? And he goes, man, that really changed my life. And I'm like, no, I don't even remember it. Like, I didn't really feel like I said anything that was, I remember us having a conversation, but I don't remember what I said that was like earth shattering. It was because it wasn't my words that had the power. It was God's word. And I think that's what you always got to remember, is like, if you feel impressed to go say something to somebody or lay hands on somebody or do something or give somebody money, you know, I do that, you know, I'll just hear the Lord. You know, I was at a store, just a random store, you know, convenience store. And there was a guy came, walked in, an older guy, you know, and he didn't look like he was doing well. I don't know. I just saw him and I said, hey, give me that stuff. Put it up here. And I bought his stuff for him, you know, and it was he's like, well, that's really nice of you. I just, well, God wanted to bless you. I heard him when I was walking out, tell the cashier, that was really nice of him. Was it a big deal? Was it expensive? No, but I heard and I reacted. I could have really easily just turned out and walked out the store and not done it. But I don't know what that did for that guy that day, you know, just to know that God thought about him for that. It's like, we have to become doers. God puts these things, these feelings or these unctions to say something to somebody for them.
That's right.
It's only for them. It's not about you. But it's our fear that keeps us from doing it.
Well, we have to love those people more than we're concerned about whether we're accepted or rejected.
You got to get over the fear. And if God puts it on you to speak to someone,
do it.
Or lead them to the Lord, ask them if they know Jesus, don't think. Just do it. It's certainly not the devil telling you to do it.
That's right.
He's not telling you to go tell that person about Jesus. He's not telling you to go lay hands on that person. And you know what? If they reject you today, that seed may come up a week, a month, a year from now in that person.
That's right.
You don't know.
That's right.
Because it's not your words that are bringing the power.
And they will thank you.
Mm-hmm.
They will thank you.
Man, this has been good. Don't go anywhere, though. We'll be right back.
Do you watch the news or scroll on social media and think we've got to be in the end times? Because I know I have. And I've heard Rick Renner talk about how the end times would feel like the days of Noah. And he wrote a book all about that time period, The World Before the Flood. In Rick Renner's newest book, he teaches on fallen angels, giants, Nephilim, a pre-flood world, and what that means for us as believers. This book helps us to uncover the world as it was before the flood, a time when fallen angels and giants roamed the earth. Using archaeology and historical analysis, Rick Renner takes you through this time period and shows you all about pre-flood civilization, where Noah's Ark currently resides, and the spiritual corruption that led to God unleashing the flood on the world. And the most interesting of it all is how it connects to modern-day spiritual conditions and end-time prophecy. This is a book you definitely don't want to miss. Order your copy today by visiting us on our website or by calling the number on your screen.
Fridays on the Believer's Voice of Victory is Offering Day. Now, Offering Day is where God gives you an opportunity to sow into this ministry and be a part of what we're doing around the world. It's not a pressure thing. If you don't feel it, don't do it. If the Lord leads you to do it, you do it. We don't pressure people here. But if you want to put your seed in some good ground, it's a good ground, Rick. And Every money that comes in, at least 10% goes out to other ministries and other things around the world that we support. It's usually around 15 to 18%. But 10 is our commitment, but we usually do more. And we have given somewhere around $358 million since we've been tracking it since 84. We've given over $350 million to other ministries and other organizations.
That is amazing.
And it doesn't stay here. The reason we do that is because we do what we preach, right? I tithe. My family, we tithe. We all tithe. It's because that's part. For me, that's what I say is my God, this is a sign of the token of the covenant that I have with you. And so we're all tithers, we're givers. That's why the ministry does it. You know, it's we give because God directs us to give, and millions of lives have been saved because of it. So if you want to be a part of that, that'd be great. We'd love you, have you too. And while I'm at it, I want to mention to you about partnership. Partnership with this ministry. You're signing up with us to partner in prayer and covenant to stand and believe God for what the ministry's doing, for us to stand and believe God for you, what God's doing in your life, and to be here for you. It's not a financial commitment. If the Lord leads you to do it, great. We'd love to be financially a part of that. But when you partner with us, you get to reap the same rewards that mom and dad has done and the ministry has done, because we can't do it without you. So just like everybody on the football team gets the trophy when they win a game, or they get a championship ring, the water boy gets a championship ring. The trainers get a championship ring. The coaches, everybody on the team's on the team. And so that's what I'm telling you. You have the right to reap those rewards, same as mom and dad and the rest of the ministry. So, Rick, if you don't mind, I would love for you to pray over the offering.
I would love to. You know, ministry is a little bit like a car. You can have a beautiful car, shiny, but if it doesn't have any fuel in the tank, it's not going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And when you become a partner with this ministry, you are literally putting fuel in the tank so they can advance with the gospel. That's what they're doing. But you got to have fuel in the tank. And again, I can testify to you, they're really good with the fuel that you put in the tank. They're careful with your gifts. And I want to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every partner. I thank you for every giver. And Lord, I ask you to honor your word that you will multiply back to every partner and every giver. Lord, that you would multiply their gift back to them mightily in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
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 Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, John.
This is one of the funnest weeks of broadcast I've done. We're definitely going to have to do it again.
Well, I want to do it again.
It was really interesting, too. Good. I mean, the amount of the stuff that we covered, you know, like I said, y'all get this book. Because it's not something that you want to take lightly. This is information that you and your family need. And so get this book, study it, get your family, study it with you so that everybody can be on the same page and without fear.
Amen.
Well, Rick and I, glad you joined us. We just want to remind you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for the harvest on the seed you have sown. To give by text, you can text the letters KCM to 36609. Together, we are sending the word of faith to people around the world.